right. If you hadn't gotten a handout, you're welcome to come and get one. And I don't think that we'll be long tonight as I was preparing for this. It's a very, very simplistic message. And but yet, I think that we need to get back to some of the basics as well. And we're speaking on the series of prayer. And this tonight is entitled Five Biblical Principles to Remember When Asking God. Let me ask you something. How many of you are asking God about, it's one thing for us to go before the Lord and give him praise. We should do that. Hallowed be thy name. But when we come to the point of supplication, where we turn to God and we ask God for ourselves, Lord, this is what I need. How many of you have some things that are heavy on your heart that only God can fix? If money could fix it, you could go borrow the money. But it's something that God just needs to fix. How many have a burden like that? Hold your hands up for a bit. I want to see this. It's just something that God's got to fix. That money's not going to fix it, and nobody on earth can fix it. Okay, that's a lot of us here. And God has burdened me, and I've talked to some in our church about it, and I've talked to some of the older pastors, the more senior, mature pastors about this, but I'd like for us to see God do something powerful in these areas. You know, heaven's going to fix everything, but if we seek the Lord, God may fix it before heaven. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And there are some things that are painful, and there are some things that, we wouldn't want to mention in a corporate prayer meeting, right? I mean, I wouldn't want to stand up and say, just pray for Debbie. She hates my guts. It's been 40 years, and she hates my guts. She wouldn't come to church with me tonight. She said, I'm not going to come in here. I'd rather keep the nursery. I said, just go keep the nursery then. And actually, Jackie's gone, so she's keeping the nursery tonight. But, there are some things that need to be fixed, and yet they're too painful, and I think that they're too private for us to just mention. I'm sorry your windshield wipers aren't working. That's tough. But, money can fix that. So, well, I don't have the money. Well, get some scratch, man. Find it. I've been there. Well, my transmission slipped, and my lifters are tapping. Well, that's all fixables. Those things are fixables. But we have some deep-rooted things in our lives that I want you to know God's concerned about it. He's concerned about you, about it. Let me ask you something. How many of you have been praying for that thing? You've been praying about that situation, that circumstance, and it seems as if nothing's happening at all. Would you raise your hand? Often, we can't see what God's doing. And we don't need to be deceived in thinking that God's not hearing or God's not answering or God's not interested. Because I hear some, God is hearing and God does answer and God is interested. He is concerned. But real soon, I want to have, I've been praying about it for months, and I've been seeking God about it, and I haven't talked. No one really has ever done anything like this that I've talked with. But I want to have a prayer meeting that's not just exclusive. We don't have cliques. We have people that meet all the time. We meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We meet on Saturday morning and sometimes on Saturday night. And we meet every night of the week for a preaching conference, a missions conference. We don't have cliques, but, if you're not a candidate for this, if your burden's trying to pay the mortgage, you're not in this thing. If your burden is you need a new set of tires, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that is just broken. The devil has gotten in and has shredded something. And you know, what woulda, shoulda, coulda will never be. And you're looking to God to what can be. And you want to seek God in a special prayer group at a special time. I wonder if we could come together of kindred spirit, of that gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, seemingly impossible, and see God work through those things. Are you with me tonight? You understand what I'm saying? In doing that, we have to be very vulnerable. We have to make ourselves very vulnerable. In doing that, we'd have to squash some pride, perhaps. But I tell you what, I'd rather be vulnerable and be squashed to pieces to see God work in that horrific incident and situation that, you know, and I understand we have a prayer closet, and in that prayer closet we cover things and we share things that no one knows, and I think we need to continue that. But I wonder if of like mind and kindred spirit, if we came together with what is seemingly impossible. Only God can fix this. Only God can do this. And we know of other situations like ours where God did. But I want him to do it in our lives too, don't you? And so it's something about, I think we would call it a progressive prayer meeting. It's progressive. It's past a Sunday school and a tonight. Tonight's a very important prayer meeting. We got a lot of people need prayer. I was talking to Steve Mutter yesterday, and I love Steve Mutter. I've known him for years, and he is a rock solid, conservative, not a liberal bone in his body, on top of the political scene. He's all of that stuff. He's a good husband. I believe he loves his wife, and Kathy would be easy for, I think, anybody to love. She's a sweet, sweet person. But, you know, he had this salmonella. And I mean, it put him bad off. And he ended up in the hospital. And now they found this mass they're not sure about, you know, in his intestines, in his colon. And I will tell you, I thank God allowed the salmonella so the mass could be found. And my father-in-law had a massive heart attack, a widowmaker heart attack. And were not for his neighbor, there's no way he would have survived that. And they had a helicopter come in, and he survived that. And then they found this mass, and they were able to get it just in time because of the heart attack. You know, God works that way. You know, I'd rather him just send a letter saying you need to go get it tested, you know, instead of have the other. But you know, I think of Joe and Rachel, and they're not here tonight. And Rachel, her surgery went very well, and But she's got a lot of therapy, and she's got a full cup, and she got home, and she shed some tears about how she's going to do everything. And we just told her, we're going to do it. Don't worry about it. You just get well. And but she needs prayer. I think of Paulette, and it's very suspicious to me that her arm is broken, you better not be slapping that woman around out there in that country, you know. I know you wouldn't. I know better. You know better than do that too. And but that's a bad break. You know, it's a terrible break. As I sat down and made the list out today, I thought, great Scott, I don't think I've ever made a list this long. You know, and there's David Vascar, and went by David's house last night, and sat down with them and prayed with them, and Jackie said, you know, you've got a lot going on. We don't have to have you at the hospital, and she's very kind about that. And but we went by last night and prayed with him, and we don't understand this. They laughed because they said they believe the same thing. He said if the wires are not damaged, all they got to do is it's like one of those little furry rabbit play dolls. You unzip it and you pull the hard case out, take the Phillips head, pull it out. I changed enough batteries for Sammy, and all his. Even his hot dog, Mickey Mouse. And then you put the new battery in, put the box back on, shove it back in, and zip it up. But if those batteries, if the wiring is messed up, then it's going to be a major issue. And I told him I get a vision of corroded cable wires on my battery, you know. And he laughed and said that's the vision he gets as well. But evidently they were all well and they did it. This is an important prayer meeting. We need to pray. But there are some of us here who have deeper, deeper issues that we need to see God move in. That batteries and pacemakers and, you know, x-rays and broken bones are child's play. Doctors can fix that, and medicine can fix it, and surgery can fix it, and money can fix it. But I'm talking about those who we got some things. And if you're like me, there's hardly ever a time it's not right here on me. Hardly ever. It's the last thing I think about when I get in bed. And it's the first thing I think about when I get up. It brings great sorrow. And God can fix it. And I wonder if we could have a progressive prayer meeting where we could be vulnerable. You know, if you've got transmissions problem, don't come to this. You know, if you've got, you know, an ingrown toenail, that's tough toenails, you know. Don't come with that. But if you've got a deep-rooted gut burden that keeps you from the joy, you know, the Bible says in this world we'll have tribulation and sorrow, but that God will turn our sorrow into joy. Now, I know he's going to do that when we go to heaven, but I believe he can do it now. And you should pray about it if you should be a part of this progressive prayer meeting. And, we don't want people to come for two or three times and maybe find out what the big burden is on different people's heart, then leave. We don't want that. We want people who are going to be committed and stay. We want people who are willing to fast. You know, we don't fast very much anymore. We got a problem, we throw a Visa down and fix it. Or a MasterCard. You know. But there are some things that some of us have that a Visa, MasterCard is not going to fix. And we might need to fast some. And if you're not into that, you don't need to come to this. I wouldn't care if only two or three came to it. It's not a thing where I like to have the whole church come to. It's a progressive prayer meeting. We want to progress past where we're at in this issue, where we're at in this situation. If you understand me, say amen. James chapter 1, verse 5, James says, and by the way, James is a great, great preacher. I believe his temperament would be of a choleric type temperament. He's black and white. He tells it like it is. He begins this book with saying that he wanted to talk about the common salvation, but there's all types of apostates, and he preaches a very powerful message here. But in James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I've underlined, if you notice, let him ask of God. And there are five biblical principles that we should remember when we're asking God, and I want to share with them. Now, here's one of many promises, and you've heard me quote it many times. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, which you've never seen before. See, I believe that. I believe we can call to God and get a hold of God and see God move in a way like we've never seen before. Man, I'd love to see God do that in my life and in our church. In your family, I'd love to see God. I'd love for some of you to call me and say, you're not going to believe this, but this burden, this heartache, this perpetual pain, this morning I got a call and it's all fixed. It's all solved. I'd like to see that happen. And I don't think it's going to happen because we're running buses and we go soul winning and because we love preaching. I don't think it's going to happen because we give our tithes and offerings. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to take some this kind come up by fasting and prayer. And that's what we're looking at here. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, we should use these five biblical principles from the book of James to strengthen our already prayer life. Number one, the first principle is to embrace and endure. Don't lose heart. Embrace and endure. James continues in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When there's a lot of temptation, a lot of testing that's taking place, we should count it all joy. I don't think that we do that. I don't think that I normally do that. I think that when we have, a testing time, it's more, oh, brother, than it is amen with me. Like, oh, no. But there's some reasoning behind this we need to see. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God, he saved us, but listen to me. God wants to work on us. He saved us. We were a wreck. But after salvation, we're still a mess. And we need God to work on us. And we're justified as soon as we're saved. And you know when we get to heaven, we'll be glorified and we'll see him face to face, shall be as he is. But in between justification and glorification, there's sanctification, and we're a mess. And there are things that God wants to deal with us. He wants us to be transformed into the likeness of his Son. And that comes through this perpetual testing. I remember when I was a young man, and I mean 20 and 21 and 22 and 23 and 24, the slightest thing could just upset my apple cart. And when I went to Bible college when I went back to Bible college after being married and having a child in Bible college and having a second child on the way, God had strengthened me. I could see it. I remember driving to work and driving to college one morning, going to class, and dropped a drive shaft. It was like, oh, well. And I just reached underneath the car and picked the drive shaft up and left the car on the side of the road and hitchhiked to school with a drive shaft on my shoulder, you know. And a policeman picked me up, and he strapped the drive shaft on his car and through the window and put me in the back seat and took me to school. And all the professors were up on the third floor looking out the window saying, what does Savage do now? When they saw the squad car pull up and then let me out. But the slightest little thing used to just absolutely destroy my day. But understand this, this trying of our faith, God is working patience in us. God wants to mature us. God wants us to be complete in him. And that doesn't happen on the mountaintop. That normally happens while we're in the valley. He says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Now, isn't it interesting, patience is referred to as a she. I found that interesting. And that ye may be perfect, that's mature, and entire, that's complete in Christ, wanting nothing. We should be through that point in our life. And listen, if we've been saved for any amount of time at all, we ought to be there. We ought to be way, way, way up there and not irresponsible and flighty and falling and fainting with every blow that comes our way. So what is he saying? He's telling us that we need to continue to praise God for his goodness. Now, I don't know if Sunday night's message on praising God helped you, but I want to tell you something. It's helped me a lot this week. And I have praised the Lord. And they went to the bank, I think, yesterday. And I'm good friends with those folks. And the teller was talking to me. And we were talking about some things. And she said something. I said, well, praise the Lord. And she looked at me and she smiled and she said, praise the Lord. Absolutely. Amen. Praise the Lord is what she said. And praising God, praise God continually. James is encouraging us to consider it all joy when we are encountered by trials, and by test, those things that are challenging to our faith and to our walk with God. Now listen, I said this Sunday morning in faith, and I mentioned it Sunday night. Murmuring and complaining halts the blessing of God. God doesn't want to hear it. And when the children of Israel began to murmur, he gave them what they wanted, didn't he? And they didn't end up wanting what they got. You see, we think we want quail. We don't want manna. We want quail. We want the leeks of Egypt. We want what we had back there in the world underneath the bondage of Pharaoh, Satan. And we look at that, and then we get it, and we realize that's not what we needed. I want to tell you something. We have to pray and ask God to reveal to us our needs, because we don't know our needs. We think we do. Now, especially when we are abounding. Paul says when he's abounding, praise the Lord. But when he's empty, when he, what's the word in the Bible? Not the opposite of abounding. What is it? Abase, yeah. When he's in want. When we're in want, when we are abased, it's simple for us to know that we have needs. I mean, when we have more month than we do paycheck, we know our needs. When our furnace is not working and it's 54 degrees in our house, we know what our needs are. When we open the fridge and there's no food in there, we know what our needs are. It's when we are, in want, it's easy for us to be very in touch with these things. But when we are abounding and God has blessed us, and listen, the child of God should be abounding all the time. I mean, we should be abounding and praising God. But when we murmur and we complain, we halt God's blessings. When we endure trials, in other words, when we press on in faith, that's what enduring trials is. It's not easy. It's not pleasant. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. But when we are enduring trials, it literally means to press on in faith, believing God has our best interest at heart. Now, I want to tell you this. I have never questioned God's love or concern for me. And there might be times where I thought, I don't see how this is going to work. You know, the last thing I need is a flat tire today. You know, last thing I need is a broken tooth. About a couple months ago, I went home on a Sunday night. I have terrible teeth. Don't tell me. Don't come up and tell me about anything. I floss more than anybody in this room. I do. I got a jet sprayer. I use it. I use a special toothpaste. I use it. I got three different kinds of toothbrushes. They're automatic. They're manual. You shift some in first, second, and third, and others. You just plug it and go. I mean, I'm just born with what I've got, and I'm at home, and I'm eating almonds, because they're good for you. Chocolate-covered cherries wouldn't have done this to me. Would they? I've never bitten a hard donut. So, well, what if they let out, 24 hours? You put them in the microwave for 15 seconds, dummy. Then they soften back up. And I bit this almond, and my back tooth broke. And I thought, holy cow, is that a tooth? And I reached back there, and I didn't say anything to Debbie, and I got up and I went to the bathroom and looked, and I thought, man, the whole thing's broken. I mean, it was bad. And I went to the dentist. And I said, listen, I've never had a good experience in a dentist's chair. I said, you're going to get in my mouth. You're going to look at it, and you're going to say, let me see what I can do here. And then you're going to tell me about 5 minutes, oh, Brother Savage, it's to the nerve, and I'm going to charge you $1,800 for a root canal so you can lose it 3 years later. Just extract it. That's what I told the dentist. He said, well, I don't know. I think I can save it. And praise God, he saved it. I can't believe it, I'm just saying this. We can murmur and we can complain, but we need to press on in faith, believing God has our best interest. And when that tooth broke, I thought, Lord, this is the last thing I need, And God said, well, if you hadn't eaten all that junk when you were younger, you wouldn't be having these problems. He didn't say that, but he could have. You see, we emerge from the experience perfect, mature, and entire, complete, lacking nothing, wanting nothing. That's what God's doing in our life. Now, God often allows us to go through difficult challenges, some hard situations and circumstances, because those are the very experiences that are shaping us to receive the answer He has prepared for us. These things strengthen us. Now, in the midst of pain and our sorrow, as we continue to press on, we need to pray. We need to stand on His Word. We need to believe in His promises. And we will see His goodness bring us to a better place. Embrace it, what you've got, what you're dealing with. You embrace it, and you endure it. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Don't lose heart. Continue to pray about it. Number two, the second principle is go to the right one and ask for the right thing. Go to God and ask for wisdom. See, we don't know that we have needs till God shows them to us. And then when we see the needs, we think we have the answers. Go to the right one and ask for the right thing. Go to God and ask for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Wisdom is different from knowledge. Knowledge is gathering. We're gathering statistics. We're gathering facts. Maggie got a new watch today, and it tells how many steps that she takes, and it tells time. It does everything but say cock-a-doodle-doo. I mean, it does all kinds of stuff that she got today. And she's telling me on the way to church tonight, she's telling me all this stuff, and she's had 800 steps today, I think, and it's like 300 steps, and Granny's had like so many hundred steps, and I don't have one of those watches, but I think I've had 16 steps today. And she's telling me this, and I finally told her, I said, Maggie, if you tell me one more stat, I'm taking that watch off of you. And Debbie told me, Joe had already just told her that. We can gather facts, and we can gather information, but wisdom, you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is a gift from God. And there's been times I know in my ministry that at the moment that I needed to know something, God gave me wisdom about it. And people would have thought, man, Pastor, he's really one sharp cookie. When I'm going to tell you, none of that's true. God gave me wisdom at that time. There's been times that I've said things that I thought, man, that is good. I need to write that down because it came from God. There's been times my wife's come to me with the open Bible, and she says, hey, I'm going to show you something God gave to me. And she read that off, and then she shared it with me. And I said, Debbie, God gave you that. That's tremendous. We need to ask God for wisdom. God gives us wisdom when we ask for it. He gives us wisdom. The Bible says He's generous with His wisdom. He's generous with it. And if we ask Him for it, He'll give it to us. The Lord loves it when we come to Him. And with our concerns, with our burdens, He loves it when we come to Him. And we need to ask Him for wisdom to get through this situation. Now, some reason out for themselves. Proverbs 3, I covered it last Sunday. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. This is what people do. This is the kind of stuff that makes a pastor want to put a plastic bag over his head. I've had someone recently tell me, well, you know, circumstances have changed. Because of the circumstances, we're thinking about, you know, X, Y, Z. And I'm going to tell you, listen, circumstances is not supposed to move us. Circumstances, it might stir us, it might upset us, but it doesn't. Listen, be still and know. You don't let circumstances rock your world and make your decisions for you. You get led by God, let God lead you, and you don't let circumstances push you out of where God has led you. God gives us His wisdom. Now, there are those who lean into their own understandings. There's some who reason out their problems, and they come up with their own solution. And many only come to God at last resort, I mean, when there's nothing else that they can think of to do. God gives us many prayer promises. Our verse, one of my favorite, we covered a while ago, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee. If we ask, God promises that He'll answer. And let me tell you what He says. He says, no. He says, yes, and He says, wait. That's what He says, and He answers every time. Now, why does God say, wait? I don't know. I'm not God. Maybe he wants to develop us more. Or maybe he wants to see how intent and how committed we are. I don't know what God is doing in that. But I want to tell you something. There's never a time that I pray that I don't get answered by God. And I get it soon. I want to tell you something. I don't move unless I get a green light. I don't budge. There's been some times where the circumstances were terrible. There's some times where the situation was horrific. There's some times that I had had enough. I had had a belly full of it, and I wanted to do X, Y, Z, and I go to God, and God's going like this. Mm-mm. You sit right where you're at. Now, I want to tell you this. You've got to be a biblical, principled person to do that. But some people, all they want is out of the chair. You're in an uncomfortable chair. You're in an undesirable chair, and all you want's out of it. Well, let me tell you something. You heard the thing, out of the pan, into the fire. That's what happens. It certainly does. So there are some who, they solve their own problems, and then it becomes a greater problem. They think that they have their own solution. When we need to stop and say, God, give me wisdom on this. What do you want me to do on this? If we ask God, he'll say no, he'll say yes, he'll say wait. He can show the way because he is the way. Number three, have faith. Ask God in faith and expect answers. Have faith. Ask God in faith and expect answers. If I ask Debbie a question, I expect an answer. And so does she. She asked me a question. And God and I are not on the same level that Debbie and I would be on by any stretch. But I'll tell you something. He's my Heavenly Father. And I have faith that when I ask him, that he's going to answer, and we should expect an answer. Now, don't let your self-will and your own drive make your mind up for you. I've seen people take verses in the Bible and try to represent the foolish decision they're fixing to make. I had someone say something to me one time, and I just looked at them. I said, are you going to try to justify your decision using the Bible? Because I want to say, God's not in any of that stuff. And I began to show him scriptures about that. And I asked him, I said, Do you think your pastor knows what he's talking about in this? And he said, Yes, sir, I do. And then at the end of the conversation, I saw them get full of themselves again and get proud and get hard and walk out and did what they said they're going to do anyway. You know. Can I tell you this? Have faith and ask God in faith and expect answers. Chapter 1 of the book of James, verse 6, 7, and 8. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. Now, I don't think it's wrong to say if thy will is in this. I don't think it's wavering, Jesus prayed and asked for the cup to be passed from him, but thy will be done. And we want God's will in this thing. How do we know it's God's will? How do we know that? Well, we ask God for wisdom. He reveals it to us. He reveals it to us through the scripture. God doesn't go contrary to his word. So we need to ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. That's circumstances. It's blowing you. It's tossing you. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when asking God for help, remember God is faithful to help. When asking God, when Jesus invited Peter to come walking on the water, Peter got out of the boat, he walked on water. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he was walking on water. But when he focused his eyes on his circumstances, looking at the waves around him and the water beneath him, he sank. And listen to me, folks. You better have the wisdom of God, and you better have the word of God, and you better have the green light from God, and you better know it. You better. How should you know it? You should know it as well as your salvation. Man, I don't move unless God gives me the green light, and it's the green light I got when I got saved. It's the green light I got when I got called to preach. It's the green light I got when I married Debbie Baker. I mean, it's that green light, and I don't move till I get it. Now, I've had some people tell me they never get a green light. I don't understand you. I don't know why. I don't get that. I don't understand that. There are people who say, I don't ever get a green light when I pray. I don't get green or red. I don't know. I mean, God tells me yes or God tells me no. I mean, I know it. When you ask God for help, our focus has to be on His Word. This is where a lot of people miss out. See, you try to have God's wisdom and you try to have God's direction, and you're not even in the book. This is where people, this is where church members, this is where sheep drive the shepherd nuts. You know, halfway in church, doesn't tithe, doesn't read the Bible, not praying consistently, except for the beans and the taters, and they want to come in and argue about something that's foolish. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be abrasive or mean. But let me tell you, when you're that, you're not in a spiritual position to make any decision. If you make a decision, you'll probably make the wrong decision. So we must not allow circumstances, we must not allow situations determine our path. So when the circumstance is hard, and when the path is difficult, what do? I tell you what we do. We go deeper in our faith in God. And we get in His Word. And we wait on the Lord. You know, it's miserable and all we want is out of that chair. But you're in it. And you better hold on. Because I'll tell you, if you jump out of it prematurely, you got something bigger. Number four. Remember, God is not limited by circumstances. We are limited, but God is not. God doesn't care that there's gravity. God doesn't care about the pitch and the angle of the earth and the sun. God doesn't care about it. God spoke all that in existence. Nothing that applies to us applies to God. With man, this is impossible. But with God, are all things possible. You believe that? See, many of you believe that, but you don't believe it in your life. But I'll tell you something, it's in your life too, as a child of God. God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're a truck driver or if you're a missionary. He doesn't care if you're a housewife, you know, or you're a Christian school teacher. He doesn't care. If you're walking with God, if you're in tune with God, if you're in God's Word, and you're asking God for wisdom, God's going to show you the way. It's going to be the right way. And it may not be comfortable through the circumstance, but I want you to know, listen to me, you come out of it 2 years later, you'll be rejoicing in the Lord, and you won't be the same person. You'll be complete, and you'll be mature. Remember, God is not limited by circumstances. God is moved by our willingness to believe and by our desire to obey Him. That moves God. That is faith. And when we are willing to believe in God and we are willing to obey God, even if it's not what we want, I can't tell you things that I've done that I did not want to do it. I can't tell you about decisions that I've made that I've had some staff members say, that's not going to bode well. Like I'm a dummy and know that they didn't know that. I know it's not going to go well. But that's what God wanted. And then we're going to do what God wants. Hey, let me tell you something. We're going to do what God wants around this place. That's what we're going to do. And we've got to do that. So do what He told you to do. Do what He tells you to do. Do what He shows you to do in the Word of God. And if we are rich in faith, there is no limit to what God will accomplish through us. Number five. Lastly, the fifth principle. Persevere. Keep your eyes on God. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Persevere or proceed in prayer. In other words, There are some things that God says no to. When he tells me no, you know what? I don't pray that way anymore. I pray, I'm done. If it's a clear no, I'm not going to persevere in that. But if he has an answer, if I don't have a yes, and he has an answer, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep my eyes on God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to believe in God's word. In every situation, in all circumstances, we can be successful and live in victory. Now, we will receive, verse 12 says, a crown of life. So keep your eyes on the Lord. You know what happens? We're like the double-minded man. We're intense about it at times, but then we waver. And we're not in tune with him where we should be. And that hurts that request. That hurts that delivery on what we're asking God for. Now, I'm not going to amuse you tonight with stories. I could tell you. I could amuse you tonight. I could have you in stitches tonight laughing at some of the prayer requests that I've had that God's answered. That was just incredible. Just incredible. God did it. By the way, everything that you're setting on, everything you're driving in here, this whole location, God did every bit of that. Every bit of it. You know. We're on Van Drive. We have a beautiful facility. Don't forget, some of you don't know, but don't forget where we came from over on the south side of town and what we had. I want to tell you something. God did every bit of that. Every bit of it. And I want you to think about that thing in your life, that thing, whatever it might be. And listen, you know, if you've got a health issue, I'm not making light of that. God bless you. I want you to be well. You know, if you've got a financial problem, listen, I said Sunday night, people are they can't be happy because they don't have the right counter space in their kitchen. I remember we didn't have food in our kitchen, you know. You know, people can't be happy because they don't have the right kind of something in their house. And, you know, I remember when all we had in our house was a box fan, you know. I'm just saying this, you know, we're not making light of those things, but there are some deep things in our lives where the devil has infiltrated and spoiled some things and has brought great sorrow. With some of you, you may have even questioned God's love for you. You might even question God's concern for you. You might even question God, if you're God and you love me, why would you let this happen? And what makes you think God did that to you? Don't you know there's another God of this world who hates us and who blinds the eyes of people? He's a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, and he wants to sift you as wheat. God's not in any of that. He has our best interest in his heart for us. Boy, we could go down and stay down and seek God and see God do the impossible. I know we'll see it when we see him face to face, but I think that we can get together and see it now. Can I tell you this? There's some things I'll be excited about heaven, and I want to tell you this. I'll just be honest with you. If it's not going to be fixed till heaven, I'm ready to go to heaven tonight. I'm just ready to go tonight. If heaven's going to be the only way to fix it, let's fix it. But we have a church, and I have a wife, and I have a family, and I have grandchildren, and I've got people that are looking to me, and I've got responsibility. So I'm going to be here for a while. I just think God can fix it before we have to get to heaven. Don't you? But I don't think it's going to come easy. I think there's going to be some struggle and some sacrifice and some commitment that's there. Would you stand with me? Lord, I've hoped that I've